and the changing isn't free. You read it in the tea leaves and the cracks are on TV. Beware the Savage Shore, 1984.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Monday, May 31, 2021. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. And I'd like to remind everyone RBN is listener-supported, folks. Please donate whatever is manageable. And no donation is too small. Free speech simply cannot stay alive without being funded by we the people. Please help ensure that RBN continues broadcasting uncensored content well into the future. You can use PayPal on the RBN website donate page. You can call our RBN staff to donate via credit or debit card. You can call in to donate at 800-724-2719. Extension 3. Or you can mail in your donation, cash, check, money order, to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And we greatly appreciate it, folks. There's a chat room if you'd like to contribute there at beyondton.chatango.com. And I have my weekly Monday co-host alongside me today, an Irishman residing just outside of London, Mr. Paul Edward Stevenson. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Richard. Great to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you aboard. I didn't even realize. You said you have a holiday over there today as well. Just some random holiday not too known to the people. Huh?
Yeah, I think it probably had some significance at some point, but probably doesn't anymore. And no one really even knows why it's a holiday, you know, kind of that sort of way. It's just most people, if they're working full time, they're very appreciative of it, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is a big one here where people will sometimes even go out of town, you know, to enjoy a 3-day weekend, much like they do at the start of September here. That one, of course, for us is Labor Day. This one's Memorial Day for the fallen veterans. In all of the bankers' wars. You know, we might as well just have it a banker holiday today, you know.
It's a worthy call. Yeah, exactly.
But no, I mean, we care about our fallen troops, even if we can't justify most of the wars that they're thrust into, right?
Yeah, well, they go out there with good intentions, and they, you know, if they actually survive, they come back like shells of themselves, don't they, so many of them. Yeah, well, it's a real tragedy because I think when they, it's a horrible tragedy. And because these wars are fought for Zionists for the most part, certainly the most recent wars, or they're fought for, you know, one way or another for these international, you know, criminal syndicate bankers, you know.
Indeed. Indeed. And how are things looking over there? I mean, you know, like I keep saying, I really think this is just phase one of, you know, push the mRNA shots on the population. I think that it's just going to get more and more forceful as time goes on, you know. And if they can get at least it to appear that there are less and less numbers who are holding out, resisting the jab, you'd think it'll be that much easier, even if the numbers stay. And it's like, 40% or more who are holding out. Even if the numbers hold, they could manipulate it a little, claim, okay, a few more have gotten it too, and you know, these people that are left, okay, that's it. We need to bring down the hammer now. I mean, right now it seems like the corporations, they're hoping they can do their dirty work for them. It's pretty much the same over there, is it?
It's not dissimilar. I mean, these people are obsessed with pushing these vaccines, and I would say there is probably 40% of people holding out. And I think that, you know, the vast majority of that 40% are very principled, and the more they push, the more they'll refuse. And but you know, the propaganda is just off the charts for these vaccines. I mean, it's quite clear there's an agenda beyond you know, protecting yourself from a virus, which, you know, really only affects people with comorbidities and people who are really old. And we've broken it down that the reality is, if you're under 60, you're more risk of taking the vaccine than you are from coronavirus. And you know, to me, there was a real dichotomy between, you know, what they present as reality and what is reality, because you've got a lot of people over here who know what's going on and who are pushing back about it, against it. It's just that people don't really have political power. So the narrative is one thing and the reality is another. And I just think they've really overreached. And I think a lot more people are wise to it than they actually think, you know?
No, that very well may be the case. I certainly hope you're right. Will it be enough to make them change their long-term plans? I suppose is the question. Once we get used to giving up more of our freedoms, you know, just here and there, you know, for whatever claim, that it's hard for those in power to start wanting to give them back to the people again. You know, even if their excuses run out, they'll just hurry up and find other excuses, is what I see.
Exactly. Yeah, because, you know, we've got this vaccine now, which is supposed to be the great solution, and yet people still have to wear masks. I mean, for what? I mean, and also this whole notion and this whole narrative that, oh, protect yourself and others by taking the vaccine, it's total BS. A vaccine is supposed to be like sunscreen. So if I go out in the scorching sun and I put sunscreen on me, I'm protected. Now, if the guy next to me is not protecting himself, that doesn't affect me. I would like him to take it because he doesn't want him to get sunburned, but it's not affecting me. And that's how vaccines are supposed to work. You know, I don't take a polio vaccine or a flu vaccine so I can protect someone else. I mean, that's just coercion. It's just another part of this coercive narrative that you're being an irresponsible citizen, that you need to get a vaccine so you protect others. Well, nonsense, because if the other person's got a vaccine and vaccines are doing what historically and typically they're supposed to do, then the other person doesn't really care what I'm doing because he's protected. He's taken the decision to protect himself, just like you would, I don't know, like you would use an umbrella to protect yourself from the rain. If the guy next to me hasn't got an umbrella, it doesn't affect me. I'm still going to stay dry because I've got my umbrella.
Well, you know, even in terms of that sort of thinking, these don't actually do everything that even the traditional vaccines claim to do, for that matter, though. That is an interesting point of contention. I mean, over here, we do have, like, Senator Rand Paul. He's been coming down pretty hard in Congress. In Congress and toward Anthony Fauci in particular as well, as far as what you say. I mean, in his case, he has natural immunity because he fought it off. He had COVID, as far as what everyone's telling him, that's what it was. You know, he knows he had something and fought it off, and so he's refusing to take the shot on those grounds, but feels he should, of course, be able to have whatever privileges they're allowing to those who do. Now, I mean, we know the PCR tests are meaningless. You know, they don't differentiate you having this from having had anything else. And if you've had it years ago, perhaps, you know, the remnant will be there just as likely as if you had just gotten over something. But, I mean, nothing that specifically singles out these COVID-19 SARS-CoV-2 categories at all. Course, the people who are out there who might be, you know, even doctors kind of halfway on the fence with their stance on a lot of things. We have to remember their medical licenses are on the line here, you know, and that means their family, their mortgage, their all their plans for retirement, their whole life is on the line here in a lot of ways. You know, they'll see it like that, of course. I'd say it's more common for people to have that concern than to just say, oh, forget it, I don't care if I lose everything, for my integrity here and be ready for that. And especially, like I say, with family members that are getting affected too, that then just the individual certainly takes a higher toll. And even those who do have ethics and could see more than what they're admitting to publicly in the medical community of what's going on here. But it's no danger to humanity. Only the response to this worldwide has been the danger to humanity. What is
exactly,
the
because it's a totalitarian agenda masquerading as a public health issue. And unfortunately for them, not everyone is that stupid. Although there are a lot of stupid people, and I when I say stupid, I don't mean that they have a low IQ, because there are a lot of intelligent people, and it's staggering, who don't even question the fact that these vaccines don't do what typically vaccines do. So if they don't give you immunity to it, why are you even calling it a vaccine? Why don't you just call it a reasonable, I don't know, medication which reduces the symptoms? But you know, people just let this stuff go. They just accept that, oh, well, this is a vaccine which doesn't give you absolute immunity and we all need to take it. I mean, you know, don't they ever sit down and think, okay, I have understood a vaccine to be a certain thing most of my life, and now they're calling this a vaccine, but it doesn't actually do what a vaccine does. And that's what I mean. You know, people, a lot of people go along with this type of stuff, and if they would actually just, you know, behave in a way which is consistent of what the norm is, then they wouldn't get away with this stuff, because people would dismiss it as not a vaccine.
Well, you know, if they just called them genetic engineering shots and they said, okay, everyone needs to get a genetic engineering shot because of this COVID, a global virus, which is only killing less than, you know, and giving this ridiculous decimal percentage of the population, it wouldn't go over so well.
Yeah, this vaccine basically gives you immunity to liberty.
There you go. I like what one of our hosts at RBN here on Sunday nights, Robert Ravolt. He has a great show, and he's had some great names he's come up with for this pseudo vaccine. One thing he was mentioning for a while is a genetic tampering injection, because they're tampering around. They really don't know what the outcome is going to be in long term, even short term, to humans. All the animals died in the studies. And so, okay, you know, let's just hurry up and start giving it to humans without testing at this rate. I mean, there was a bit of minimal testing, and that didn't make or break, you know, how they were going to roll this out. They knew that they were going to have this for emergency use approval, I'm sure, before they considered any humans volunteering before release to the rest. But Robert Ravolt's newest term, I noticed, GSI, okay, sabotage. He's replacing tampering with sabotage now. And that is true. I mean, because that's what it's doing to your natural immune system. You know, you're sabotaging it. And from what I understand, you're going to be far more susceptible to the seasonal cold and flu variants that come around each year. You're hooked, just like Bill Gates with Microsoft has you hooked on their operating system upgrades every 6 months or whenever they choose with this as well. And never have what a natural immune system can again. So
no.
You're okay. So you don't, though. So, well, I like that term, first of all, genetic sabotage injection. It is a good one. But yeah, good mask, the fact that we have heard them claiming it's not any different in your status of acquisition, acquiring it, or transmitting it. They're saying that if you get this shot, it doesn't stop you from getting it, doesn't stop you from passing it on. All it does is reduce mild symptoms.
Exactly.
Why now are they suddenly changing, like grocery chains near me? I see it already. You know, people are in there if they have the shot without a mask, but you have to wear the mask if you don't have the shot. It doesn't stop you from getting it or giving it to others. Okay. but suddenly you don't have to wear a mask and others do. That you're making the decision if you want to try to reduce your own symptoms of it, all right, by taking the shot. Why should that affect how others have to behave inside a public store?
Exactly. But it's even worse over here because, you know, they're saying, okay, we've got this vaccine now, but you still have to wear your mask. And you're like, well, why? Does the vaccine work or not? And no one really sort of seems to ask these questions, you know?
It's just amazing. I mean, if it doesn't stop you from
that's receiving typical of the British. No, that is typical of the British. I mean, you know, they you know, the British governing class and ruling class. I mean, they're scum basically. I mean, these people look down their nose at anybody who's not in their little club, and they have a tremendous history of oppressing. And so I'm not surprised that even when we've got the vaccine, they're still getting people to wear masks. You know, these are the Eton Club boys, really, you know.
I just it goes against their own claims. I mean, when I guess it's not very widespread that it's just emergency approval, that there's been adverse events. It's not extremely rare, that it's not proven to be safe and effective. And people don't know this information and certainly wouldn't have heard. I'm sure they're not mentioning it too much in the corporate media here or in the UK, that it doesn't prevent acquisition or transmission. Because if that were mentioned often, how could they justify that suddenly you don't need a mask when you take this thing, where otherwise you do?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, exactly. When has the government had these kind of laws because of your own safety? They don't want you to get a severe case of symptoms. They want to reduce your symptoms, so they're going to force you to take that thing, or else wear a mask otherwise, because the government cares so much about you reducing your symptoms. That's what we're supposed to believe.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the couple of shops that I do go to where they insist that you have to wear a mask, I mean, I literally wear the mask when I pass the security guy, and then I just take it off.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's a good move. If you can, as much as people see other people in shops without it, they don't have to assume anything. We just need some people to stop complying. Of course,
exactly.
It's interesting. A lot of the people who comply are the same ones taking this gene-altering shot who are out there concerned about, you know, organic, non-GMO foods. But they're okay with being a GMO human, right?
Well, listen, Richard, what can you do, mate? It's just like, you know, they've got their own minds to some extent. And if they make those decisions, well, more fool them. You know, I go to bed at night and I'm not overly worried about, you know, the consequences of taking a vaccine, because I decided not to take that risk, and it is a risk. So it's a pointless risk. And so, you know, it's not a risk that I'm taking.
I just wonder how far they could go with it. You know, how uncomfortable could they try to make the lives of we who resist it? And because many people will break down once it gets to a certain point of affecting their livelihood.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if they'll not dare go as far as they want to. The World Economic Forum took down that claim on their website that in 2030 you will own nothing and you will be happy. They removed that.
Yeah.
So after, I mean, you know, they got enough pushback, evidently negative feedback, that they decided, okay, we're going to take. See, these people try to overstep as much as possible, and whatever they think they'll still be able to get away with, they don't pull back on it. That's
yeah, exactly.
Be their plan. Yeah,
it's all based on audacity, and the whole thing is predicated on a lie and dependent on mass compliance. And that's the really frustrating thing, because you look around and you think, listen, if everybody just ignored them, what do you think they could do? They could do nothing.
Well, it looks like we have that that first break. So here, we'll be right back. Stick around, Paul, and listeners.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an engine cleaner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
I'm an old sweet girl. You raise my hopes, then you raise the odds. You tell me that I dream too much, now I'm serving time in disillusionment.
I don't believe you anymore. I don't believe you.
I don't believe you anymore.
We're back, folks, beyond the official narrative, Republic Broadcasting, here with my Monday co-host, Paul Edward Stevenson. So, Paul, you seem pretty confident that it won't come down to us being absolutely forced to take it, where you can't have a bank account, you can't go into any building, masked or not. I don't know, an approach to peer pressure shaming with the masks, possibly. Because there's no sense, if it doesn't stop acquisition and transmission, to not have to wear the mask anymore. But you having to continue to wear a mask inside at least some businesses, just that peer pressure shaming, people will start being embarrassed to not comply and to fit in. Is that maybe what they're attempting here?
Yeah, there is that. There's a shaming and intimidation. And don't get me wrong. I mean, they will try everything to pressure the outliers and the dissenters and to shame them and intimidate them and stuff like that. But I just think at this stage, they have overreached. And I just don't think they're going to be able to pull this off as easily as they think they will. And, as like you said, with the World Economic Forum taking that down off their site, Boris Johnson is without a spine. These people, these politicians are, of course, obsessed by power more than anything. So if there's a pushback, these people will they will relinquish to some extent, because, you know, because they've obviously got the people they really work for. But at the end of the day, they need to get votes. And if there's enough pushback and enough dissent, then they will, you know, relinquish some of their agenda if they think that it's not going to happen and it's going to result in, you know, losing at the in the elections and stuff like that. So the more people push back on it, the better it is. I think there's a lot of people are aware of it. And I don't think it's basically going to be as easy as they think it is. But, you know, but they've already done so much damage anyway. I mean, you're already seeing the inflation. You know, the whole COVID thing was a complete typical Jewish operation, where it's a complete looting and mass theft operation and a huge, maybe the biggest wealth transfer in human history, what they've done. And that's happened now. You can't turn that back now. So people are going to feel that, and people are going to be a lot more weakened by it, because people are going to be very, very badly affected economically by what's coming. And the worst case scenario is the collapse of the dollar. And if that happens, I think that's by design. And so the economy has two options. It's either going to implode if they raise interest rates, or it's just going to explode. And the latter will be the worst, but there is no easy way out now. There is no easy option for you know, because of the money printing. So inflation is a reality. You're starting to see it now in just about everything. And that's just going to intensify. So I would advise people to get into gold and silver and gold and silver mining stocks. I would warn them away from Bitcoin, because I think that's just a pile of nonsense as well. I don't know what, you know, gold and silver and gold and silver mining stocks and foreign emerging markets with good dividends is a good way for people to protect themselves, you know?
Yes. And what do you think the outcome would be if there were a collapse to the dollar? Do you think it would go to China as the world reserve currency? If they were to lose status, if the U.S. were to lose that status, that is to say, during the dollar's collapse, would it go to China or these digital currencies we're hearing about? You know, I don't know. Well, IMF, Fed are all trying to make digital currencies already. Could there be some, you know, not so much EU if it's for the U.S. as well, but what, United Nations crypto or something come along?
Well, I think if Russia and some of the BRICS company have their way, and then you have to put in brackets, will there actually be a hot war? Then I think you would have, the globe basically going back on the gold standard. But I think the Jewish influenced and the Jewish dominated West are going to be trying to create a digital currency and the social credit scores that come with that. And I think that's part of, we spoke about this on Saturday, but I think that's part of this whole Bitcoin obsession to get people into this idea of digital currencies. So in a best case scenario, we could go back in the gold standard and a real money standard, or in the worst case scenario, we'll end up with these nightmare social credit scores and digital currencies and probably universal basic income and that type of thing. You know?
I suppose my question is really, I mean, would the Western powers really necessarily have a choice? If the dollar loses its status as the reserve currency of the world, would it, by default, go to China and emerging markets? I know similar systems are being developed in Russia as much as they already are in China to parallel us. Well, here, I'll let you answer that on the other side. We're at the bottom of the hour, I see. All right, stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Back, folks, beyond the official narrative, Republic Broadcasting, here with my Monday co-host, Paul Edward Stevenson. So, Paul, yeah, I mean, I'm curious if you think it would, by default, go to China, and there wouldn't really be any value, not value enough in some sort of a crypto from the Western powers that would be able to say, oh, you know, because it has to do with the value of the nation, whether it's crypto or whether it's their fiat, right? And China, and of course, yeah, perhaps the ruble as well, with China's currency would be just the reserve currency, right? And would that be a bad thing for Brexit? I mean, how does that work? Is a strong U.S. dollar and the dollar being the reserve currency present a more favorable condition if Brexit does continue? I mean, would they eventually stop using the, you know, I don't know. Do you use euros to some extent there, or do you just, is it pounds only, considering you're not at concurrent? And I know so far it's been a soft Brexit, right? That you've accomplished, some have wanted more, but that's all that officially happened. And I'm sure COVID set things back considerably. I don't know. What are your,
yeah, a lot of questions. Here's the thing. Yeah, exactly. And the honest answer is, you know, none of us really know. I mean, I think if they get their way, they're going to be looking at the IMF, the Federal Reserve, the Bank of England, the European Central Bank. They're all going to want to have this digital currency, I think, with the social control. They get rid of cash. They'll know every transaction you make. That will get rid of any privacy and any freedom in that way. But the United States has benefited most, obviously, because from the dollar being the world reserve, having the world reserve currency status. And when that goes, if it does go, which I think it is going to go, it's the United States who will suffer the most, because, you know, when you have the combination of a nation that doesn't produce anything and is dependent on other nations. The United States is massively dependent on China for imports. And then they want to demonize China and then sort of like, you know, and Trump was guilty of this too. And then you want to destroy your own dollar, which is what you send the Chinese, so you can, you know, be able to have all these goods at such a cheap level. Well, I mean, this is a disaster for the United States. It's not going to affect the British that much, because the pound is going to be the pound. We don't have the world reserve currency in the pound like we used to. And, you know, all the major countries are devaluing their currencies by money printing. But the United States is going to be the one that suffers, because eventually the Chinese and everybody else that that are paid in U.S. dollars are going to say, well, these dollars aren't worth anything, so we have no motivation to send you anything anymore. And then what are you going to do when you're not producing anything? What you're going to suffer is what's going to happen.
Well, yeah, we've heard for a long time about this upcoming Eurasian shift that many claim is inevitable, and that the U.S. will be left in the dust. Israel's already made plenty of negotiations to be sure that you know, it can realign without missing a beat. Europe will be consumed in trade from the Far East and Middle East, I'm sure, as well.
But, you know, the thing is, there's a lot of wealth still in America, and this is why it's important that they don't get wiped out on the stock market with these overinflated stocks, and they get into gold and silver and emerging markets. Because the good guys, and, you know, we look on at America over here, you know, because there was so much wealth created in America. There was so much freedom there at one point. And there are so many good guys there, you know, good entrepreneurs, guys who've enjoyed freedom, guys who've created good businesses, guys who've created good lifestyles for lots of people. You had the middle class being the majority in America, which is completely aberrant and unique and wonderful. And there is a lot of wealth still in America if they can avoid this theft operation, which is occurring by these filthy Talmudic criminals who got themselves into America a century ago, because that's what they do. And if they get into gold and silver and emerging markets, then that money and that capital can be used to actually start creating again and start producing again in America. So America doesn't have to sink completely if there's enough information and knowledge out there, so the people with wealth can start producing stuff and building factories and just generally producing and not being dependent and build up again, you know?
Yes. We have a caller, Dan in Washington. Hello.
Hey.
Hello, Dan. What's on your mind?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
On a positive note, I see this global collapse probably as a good thing, because it would help get rid of those gangsters. You know, if the West kind of implodes, which I think is creating the tension with Russia because of this BRICS system that they're setting up and the gold that they want it based on, America could easily be friendly with that. If our dollar imploded, all we'd have to really do is put up a 10% tariff on imports, and all these factories would come back from overseas, and we could make everything just like it was when I was growing up, even in the 80s, you know, most stuff was made in America. But, you know, they, the reason that went, so, you know, they joined this system of you know, free trade and Bretton Woods and all this stuff. So it would be good to have it. It would be painful for a while, but we could go back on the gold standard. Maybe they'd release all the gold from Fort Knox. I don't know how much gold so
you,
is in all right, there.
Well, it's interesting. You seem to have some optimistic options that you see available there. A lot of people have the impression that our living standards would decrease to that of the third world. We wouldn't, be able to afford all these electronic gizmos and just all these things at such inexpensive prices, you know, of all types, clothing, just various items that are made over in Asia by like sweatshops. I don't know. You don't think that would necessarily happen, even with the collapse of the dollar in the long run?
No, I think it would happen. Do you mean?
Eventually, the living standards of the average American wouldn't be able to be the same anymore, if that were to happen. Or do you think with the things you're suggesting that it wouldn't necessarily be the case for things to decline in that way?
When we put sanctions on Russia, they actually were said thank you because Russia started producing more stuff in its own country because
exactly.
You know, we don't really need the rest of the world in America. It's a huge country. We might need some certain rare earth minerals or something. But we could easily put up a tariff and it would be painful maybe for 10 years or so, but you would bring back so many jobs here very quickly. So yeah, for maybe 10 years the price of a TV would quadruple or something, but to me it would be good. I mean, it was like when we were growing up, TVs were made here, clothes were made here, everything was made here, and their standard of living, we had jobs, so it wasn't such a, I don't know, the only way we've, I go all over this country. We have nothing. Every town I go to is a Walmart, is a McDonald's. There's nothing being, very little being produced here. Paper, recycling, stuff like that. So it's going to be painful, but we can't continue on this way. I don't see it working. We can't just consume.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the Chinese don't need to be sending all their, their hard working and, all their produce over to America for, for bits of paper with dead presidents' faces on it. America, as you say, doesn't need to rely on anyone. It just needs to, as you said, it'll be painful for a while, but get back producing. And the stuff you produce is going to be better quality, and that crap comes from China. I mean, I bought a pair of boots. I think they're made in Kentucky. I mean, I've only worn them twice. They're so nice. I paid £300 for them. I mean, these boots, I mean, the craftsmanship and the quality of these boots, I think they were made in Kentucky somewhere. I mean, it's off the chart. It's better quality. Just produce your own stuff. A country like America has got so many resources. There's absolutely no need, apart from the fact that you've allowed a bunch of parasites into your country to suck it dry, and it's just part of the learning process, unfortunately, of the great United States story. And it is a great story, and I hope it continues.
When I was growing up, that makes you proud of your country when you make stuff. I don't have much pride, but we didn't invent the mountain bike, but in the 90s the technology on bicycles got better, and we kind of, a lot of our companies were pioneering that, like aluminum frames. We had like Cannondale bicycles, and but I tried to buy a bicycle made here 100%. There's no bicycles aren't even made here because our last bike, I think Cannondale was made here, and they got bought by a Canadian company, and then they shipped the manufacturing to Taiwan. So it's like we can't even have a bicycle made here anymore.
It's annoying.
Anyway, yeah, and you guys make good stuff too. I was looking at Triumph motorcycles and Doc Martin tennis shoes and stuff like that. You know, I mean, so it gives you pride in your country to make your own stuff. So that's my optimistic view of what could happen.
I'm from Ireland, and we produce a lot of Guinness and a lot of whiskey, and we consume a lot of it.
There you go.
So, we make sure we consume a lot of that stuff, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't take that many factories to make your standard living pretty high there, you know, even if you just,
I'm from Northern Ireland, okay, and I've got a natural entrepreneurial spirit, and Northern Ireland is a disaster. Talk about counterproductive. I mean, they have these marches to commemorate, like, you know, the Battle of the Boyne in 16, whatever it was, and then the nationalists have their little marches, and business just completely shuts down for about 3 months, and there's all sorts of areas and real estate in Northern Ireland, just outside Belfast, which no one even wants to invest in. It's such a shame, you know?
Yeah, I'd like to see America. I'd like to maybe move there. There's so many Irish people here in America that would love to really immigrate there, retire there, or invest there. And, I think you have like 4 million people there. So even if you just brought back your own shoe manufacturing, that would create, I don't know. I think all these, the smaller European countries could easily use the mercantilism like they did in the last centuries to make themselves very wealthy. You know, they could each specialize in certain products. And, I think Europe has to trade somewhat, you know, with food. And if they were friendly with Russia, you'd have tons of farmland, even Ireland.
Ireland sends 5 million pounds worth of cheese to Russia every year. And I remember whenever these sanctions were made against Russia, they stopped the exports of Irish cheese to Russia. I mean, based on what? You know, what has Russia done to Ireland? Nothing, you know. But it's part of the EU, so the EU's got its issues with Russia because the EU is dominated by a little tribe who's got an ancient grudge against Russia, you know.
Right. And that's the scary part. It's like, I had a lot of respect for the leader of Belarus, and he didn't go for the COVID stuff, and he's just saying, look, this is making the rich get richer and shutting down all these poor people. And then they wanted to overthrow the guy, and I'm scared that we could easily kind of go with the BRIC system, I would think, you know, and not have any war, and everybody would get along fine. But I'm afraid they're going to try to just destroy those countries,
In addition to gold and silver mining stocks and emerging markets, I think, you know, it'd be a good idea to learn Chinese.
Well, I don't know. I mean, see, if we brought our own manufacturing back and stuff, the Chinese would lose a lot of their customers, too. It's hard to say, you know. But another good part is America wouldn't be able to go around the world waging war and stuff. We wouldn't be so broke. We'd have to choose between Social Security retirement and having a huge army, maybe. So we'd definitely lose power, you know.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because that is one of the upsides of them destroying the dollar. Because if they destroy the dollar and that completely loses its purchasing power, they're not going to be able to wage these wars. So then this little international clique will bounce around the nations like they've always done, and they'll suck America dry, and then they'll end up somewhere else, and they'll wage their wars from there. That's what they'll do.
Yeah. And we wouldn't be able to be their endless supporter, because we couldn't just print money. We'd have to, much money is in for Knox, but you know, we might be a very rich country in gold. You know, I'm not sure, but yeah, we would at risk where we could just endlessly be the world's police. So I don't know. I hope, hopefully it goes that way, you know, and I guess we're in a scary time because they're going to try to just overthrow Russia and set up these.
I don't think they're going to be able to. I think Vladimir Putin is too smart for them. I honestly do. I don't think they're going. I think Vladimir Putin is a chess player. He's apparently some like world class chess player. I think he sees he's like three or four moves ahead of all of them. Honestly, I really think he is.
Yeah, I agree too. And what do you think about the BRICS is Brazil, India, Russia, China.
Hey, Dan, I'll hold you till after the break, okay? To finish that question to Paul. We'll be right back.
All right. Thanks.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms or you have a concealed weapon permit and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Segment Beyond the Official Narrative, Republic Broadcasting, and we have Dan on the line with Paul Edward Stevenson and I. Dan, you had a question for Paul regarding BRICS.
Yeah.
What was your question again?
What do you see the other BRIC countries like India? I know that the farmers were protesting because a lot of these usual suspects are in there trying to corporatize all their pharma, and they're making deals with India and China. So, and what do you think about these other countries? Are they part of that? It seems like the BRICS system is breaking up, though. Like Brazil was friendly with Bolsonaro, was friendly with Trump and the Zionists, and I don't know what's the status of all these countries. Are they successfully doing the BRIC thing, or are they? What do you?
Yeah, well, I think there is a little bit of schizophrenia within those countries. I mean, you know, some of them are kind of like, I think, you know, questioning, are we the future? And I think there's also some pressure on them. Some of them are trying to, as you say, I mean, some of them are trying to align a little bit with Israel and stuff like that. And I think that's kind of foolish. I think they should just realize that they're such big nations that, you know, they can thrive. And but they're dominated, you see, to a certain extent by the military-industrial complex. They're under fear. You know, countries like India and China know that the United States and Israel are aligned and spend an absolute fortune on military, you know, gear, and that they can be attacked at any point. So they have to be very careful. But, you know, countries like India and China and the BRICS countries will do better if the dollar collapses. They certainly will, because those countries, you know, are suffering because of the world reserve currency being the dollar. And if that changes, they will be liberated to a certain extent, you know. But then, you know, places like India, you know, they've got the religious system there, which is a big problem. You know, they've got Hinduism there, which is it really keeps them down. You know, they you know, a lot of them, Hinduism affirms that there is no reality and stuff like that. And you know, I think India would probably benefit a lot if Christianity was spread there more. And when Christianity did go to India, it created the you know, the small middle class that there is there, you know?
Yeah, I think population would be good there myself. That's kind of where I'm more of a globalist type. But yeah, I mean, you're right. I don't know if India could like lead the world, but they are kind of a weird society. It's would those countries actually benefit? Because like China benefits anyway. I don't know if you got other callers on. I don't want to take up. But if the U.S. dollar collapsed, China would kind of collapse as well, or maybe they kind of become self-sufficient.
No, they wouldn't, because they would produce everything for themselves, like you were talking about, like America could produce for themselves. So the Chinese, mm-hmm. What the hell do the Chinese need to be exporting everything to America for? And what do America need to be exporting anything to anybody? I mean, it's such a big nation, you can produce everything you need. I mean, you're not talking about Ireland. I mean, in Ireland, you can produce, what, potatoes and beef and cheese, but it's a small population. You know, we're not going to have that many people who are like experts in technology. But in America and India and China, you guys, all of you, have got so much resources, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
Well, this is some great points.
All right.
Well, Dan, we're at the end of the show, but I always appreciate your calls. Yeah. Hear more from you this week.
Have a good day. Thanks.
You too. Have a good holiday, and you too, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Pleasure as always.
All right. Cheers, folks. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.